Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? I know all weeks can be quite a week, but it started out last Sunday afternoon. My son came up to me and said, "Dad, did you hear what happened to Kobe Bryant?" It's one of those shocking things as a 41-year-old professional basketball player, you know, was killed in a helicopter crash. Suddenly, unexpected, with his 13-year-old daughter and seven other people. And it's just one of those things that you never are prepared for. Also, if you heard about it, the coronavirus, all right, that's outbreaking in the Wuhan part of China, 35 million people are quarantined. All right, you just try to imagine the size of that. I think there are seven cases here in the United States, but we aren't sure what's going to happen or how to treat it or how to protect people. But it's one of those things where you say, all right, that's crazy. And then, I don't know if you were aware of this, but there was an impeachment trial happening on in the Senate, all right? I think a lot of people just kind of blocked it out because kind of the outcome is you know what's going to happen. But Trump was impeached and there were the House managers and the president's team went back and forth. And I listened to a little and it's like two different sides, two different stories, two different versions. Craziness. And then there was this moment, if you can kind of see this, something happened over in England. Did you hear about that? Brexit, it's official, all right? England is no longer a part of the EU. And so I just, you know, you maybe thought this. Now I've seen everything, all right? There's so many things that just kind of pop out and say, wow. And as I think about this week, I can't help but think about Simeon. That at the end of his life, who did he get a hold? Jesus. And he probably said this, "Now I've seen everything." For me, one of the things that about my trip to Israel is there was this to scale model of Jerusalem back in Jesus' day. This is in the Israel Museum of Israel. And you can see what Herod's temple may have looked like when Jesus was there and visiting. Because you think about Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus when he's 40 days old to present him to the Lord. And they would have come into his temple. One of the steps that we saw on our trip were these steps that led into the tabernacle, not the tabernacle, the temple of the Lord. And below these steps were all sorts of purification baths where you could imagine Jews preparing to go in the temple. And purification was something that was very important. Only people who were pure, who were clean, who were untarnished could present themselves to the Lord. And so today, why are we going back to when Jesus was a baby? Because 40 days after Jesus was born today, in our celebration, it's Mary's purification and the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And so you can imagine as Mary is purifying herself, ready to now enter the temple of the Lord again, in just the outer courts, they're bringing Jesus to the Lord. And so cleaning themselves on the outside to come before the Lord. And so while they were in that temple, they were poor, and so they couldn't afford a lamb. So do you remember what they offered to dedicate their son to the Lord? Two doves. And they brought these doves to sacrifice for the Lord, and they met a man named Simeon, who had been promised by the Lord that before he dies, he would see the Messiah. The Messiah that was promised in Genesis, the Messiah that was promised to Abraham, that all nations would be blessed through his descendants, the Messiah that Isaiah prophesied. Simeon was waiting. We don't know how many years between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise. But I'm sure as Simeon waited, he wondered, you know, when am I going to see what God has promised? As he read the scrolls and the Old Testament prophets, he wondered, would God keep his promise? And he waited. Did God keep his promise? You bet he did. But I wonder, we too, sometimes we go through periods of waiting. Periods of waiting where we are waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled. Maybe we're waiting for God's plan to be revealed to us. God promises that he will work good out of all things in our life. Sometimes we see it right away, but sometimes we wait and we wonder, will God keep his promise? Sometimes while we're waiting, we are not only weighed down by the question of, is God faithful? Will he keep his promise? But we also experience suffering and anguish, maybe ourselves or our loved ones. And that makes waiting that much harder. Because the reality of this world in which we live is we live in a world of sin. We live in a world that is fallen. A world in which the temple in Jerusalem was torn down in 70 AD. A world in which there are virus outbreaks and helicopter crashes. And instead of people coming together, England's tearing themselves apart from the EU. We're living in a world that in small ways and big ways, we wonder, all right, God, are you real? Do you keep your promises? Where are you? Part of what the reality of this world in which we live, we hear in Romans 6:23. I don't know if you can see that, but you probably know the verse. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. That's hard to hear, isn't it? Death is one of those things that is a part of our psyche, is a part of the reality in which we live. We know that at some point, each one of us is going to die. It's a part of our fallen human nature. The wages of sin is death. And with that, sometimes we wonder, what happens when we die? What happens after we die? You know, there's so many different versions of what happens after we die. How do we know that what the Bible says is true? I have the easy answer. It's God's word, okay? But sometimes you wonder, all right? Is this God's word? Is it true? We're waiting. You're maybe even afraid of death. Can I count on God's word? I love the second half of this version, this verse from Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we have this punishment because of our sin, but we also have a gift that God wrapped up in human flesh. It's one of those mysteries, one of those miracles of the incarnation, that Jesus is true God and true man. I've never been able to wrap my mind around that. It's beyond understanding. And yet God sent his son to pay the punishment that we deserve to pay through his suffering and death on the cross. So now whoever believes in Jesus receives this free gift, not of death, but this free gift of life. This is what God gives us. I imagine for Simeon, he was waiting, not for death, but to see God alive, to hold and to see the Messiah. We hear this in our epistle lesson today, that since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also shared in our humanity, so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Isn't that a beautiful verse? What has Jesus done? Jesus came in our flesh, in our humanity, to defeat the one who would stand before God and say, "You are guilty. You are guilty. This person doesn't deserve to go to heaven because they are sinners." But Jesus has defeated the power of the accuser. Because in Christ, what happens to our sin? It's wiped away. It's washed away. We are set free. Set free from slavery. Set free from the fear of death. This is the confidence that we can have in what Jesus has done for us. And so I love this image of Simeon. Because as he holds this Christ child, what is he expressing? What do you see in this his face? Joy. All right? Joy. Does God keep his promises? Yes, he does. God keeps his promises. Even when we are unfaithful, God is always faithful. And so Simeon cried out, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now depart your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel." Notice that Jesus didn't come just for God's people, not for just Israel, but for the Gentiles too. That was part of Jesus' purpose, was to save all people, Jews and Gentiles, those who have been part of the original promise, and those who were excluded. In Christ, God brings everything, everyone into his family, who believes in him. And so for Simeon, he said, this, he's now received the consolation of the Lord. For you and I, what is our consolation? I meant to have this picture not hidden, all right? So you had to guess about it. But let me just tell you, what is your consolation? What happened to you maybe as a child, maybe as a young adult? What did God do in your life? You were baptized, that's right. What happened when you were baptized? You died, all right? You died to your sin. You were united with Christ in his death so that just as Christ rose from the dead, you too are alive in Christ. That's what baptism means for us. This is where God meets us in the water and the word so that we might become part of the community, part of the family of God. Not alone, not separated, not isolated, but together, brothers and sisters in Christ. And as Simeon held the body, the baby Jesus, God offers us a gift too, to hold Jesus later today. When the communion assistant comes to you, he says, "Take and eat. This is what? The body of Christ. Given for you." Jesus comes to us in a tangible way to remind us that he is with us, that he keeps his promises, that when we went to that tomb in just outside of Jerusalem, it was empty, right? There was no body because Jesus had risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May one day, when we pass from this life to the next and are face to face with Jesus, may we be able to say, "Now I've seen everything." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift that you give us of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for creating community through which we may marvel at you, God, marvel at your works. Your works of life, of forgiveness, of salvation. Lord, in those times of waiting in our life, those times where we may be fearful of death and of the future, surround us with other believers, that we may encourage one another, that we may walk alongside one another, that we may point each other to Jesus. And in Christ, Lord, we have victory over all things. Thank you for your Son, for his resurrection, and for our new life in him. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.